Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting, go to pelican.com. The 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started.
What's going on? Facebook Live, YouTube. Hi, Jay.
What's up, Bri?
Long time no see, man.
I know, it's been a minute, huh?
Well, as far as podcasts go.
As far as podcasts go.
Got a great show tonight. We got a couple of our hosts in the house. Little house cleaning first. Go down, hit that share button in that lower left-hand corner. I just shared the stream up. Let's get some people in here as we go throughout the show. If you guys got any questions, comments, drop them in the comment section. We'll try to get those answered for you guys. We got some hot topics we're going to talk tonight. First, I want to say thank you to everybody that commented and sent me messages, text messages, phone calls. The kayak fishing community is awesome. We missed last week's show. Jay was out with illness. You were in Tennessee last week.
It was the week before.
Jay had some surgery, and last week my daughter was in a rollover crash. Thank God she's okay. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody for the prayers, the thoughts, and all that good stuff. It could have been much, much worse than it was. So everything good on your end now? The surgery and everything? I know you missed a couple weeks. You were in some pain, my man. I mean, there was a few times I talked to you and you were like, sounded like death.
Yeah, because it pretty much was. It was like the longest week of my life.
Yeah.
It's pretty much self-induced for the most part, but I didn't know what else to do. So, but, yeah, I'm all good, man. But, you know, it's been one hell of a month.
Yeah. I hear you, man. It's been a roller coaster for sure. For sure. So, but, we got, let's get these guys in the house. We got Dustin, AKA Doodoo Nichols.
What's up, everybody? Armando Sola. Repeat customer. 2 weeks in a row I'm making it.
What's good, my fellas?
It's good, man. Just wrapping up.
Nice to
work
see you guys.
Week.
Nice to see you back, Jay.
Thanks, man. Nice to see you too.
Jay, the man of many words, is back in the house.
It's just.
Well, Dustin, you had you took, what, first or second in that tournament?
Second place. I went up and fished Northeast Texas Kayak Bass Leagues. They got a fall series that kicked off. First event on Lake Athens. Never had been on the lake. I went up there straight out of night shift, straight off graveyards, drove up there, fished that afternoon, figured out a pretty good topwater pattern, and, you know, got some awesome fish on a jerkbait, too, on some brush piles, and tried to repeat that in the morning. It started off kind of slow. But as the water warmed up, you know, it was 36 degrees that morning up there. It was a pretty cool start to the morning. But once that sun came up, started warming things up, you know, I kind of put that that head in one knocker in my hand, and I didn't put it down. I put a, you know, halfway decent five fish limit on a slow day, 84.75. Me and, you know, I had a little, I culled one time. I went back and forth with the Cliff a couple times, and then he ended up beating me by half an inch in the end of the day. But, you know, I was happy. I was super happy with what I found.
Yeah.
Definitely stoked on that to go up there and ruffle some feathers coming from the saltwater down here and go up there. The boy can still catch some bass, you know.
How did you like Lake Athens? You fished
like
there before, right?
That was my first time on it.
Really?
I like that lake. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Grassy is.
Actually, some of the grass is gone. Looks like they sprayed a lot of it. But
oh, really?
There's still plenty in there, but, you know, it's. I really liked it. I'm going to go back up there and fish it again. For sure. Especially
and that's
next
in.
Year. Their schedule's looking pretty good. It's about 45 minutes southwest of Tyler. It's about five hours for me.
Okay.
Supposedly the Toyota Share Lunker program is near there, and they release some of those big tanks that people donate when they catch them. They release them back there.
They release them in there. Yep. We saw a lady driving her little golf cart over there and released one the other day.
Nice.
That evening.
Nice. Some big
evening. Yeah, there's some big fish in there. I did. I ripped off a pretty good one on the wake on a jerk bait around 7:30 on tournament morning. I keyed in some fish on a brush pile on a boathouse, and you know, jerk baits and hooks sometimes they're a little weaker than others. I probably should have upgraded those hooks, the stock hooks on there. I pulled one off. It was pretty good sized fish.
Huh. That was my first tournament, Lake Athens. Lovely.
Yeah, I dig that lake. I didn't really fish. I fished the mid lake and I fished the upper part of the lake. I didn't really get down around the dam area and those islands down there, but I know there's some good stuff down there too. But from what I saw, I really, really dug it. It's a smaller lake, but it's got a lot of my qualities in the fishery that I like. Lily pads and some grass, some hydrilla, some milfoil, power fishing. Yeah, top water all day. I was digging that.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah.
So,
what about you, Armando? What have you been up to, man? I know,
man.
You
I got
fishing,
my.
Weren't you?
Yeah, I got finally got to put some of the fly fishing rods from Douglas to do some work. I've been trying, but it's just a struggle, man. Casting on a fly fishing. But I went with Jacob from Jacob Fish and Hunt. He's a huge fan of Paddle and Fin. You all know him. You talked to him, Jay. I think you talked to him. Brad. He's always, you know, posting and reposting our stuff. And so he's a huge fan of not just Paddle and Fin in general.
Yeah.
So we got to talk a little bit, and he told me, he's like, hey, man, let's go to the Brazos, go for some stripers there. And, it was fun, man. It was fun. Finally got one striper on the line. So it was pretty cool.
Never
caught one until this time, but might do it tomorrow again. We'll see.
On the fly rod?
Yep.
What are you throwing, like a 4-weight, 6-weight, 8-weight?
6-weight. That's Kai G from Douglas, yep.
Yeah.
We're throwing the game change. I think they call them game changer lures. It's like a swim bait. For fly fishing, and I really don't know the names of the baits. I mean,
it's got like a cone head weight with a bunch of feathers as the body.
Yeah, jointed, yeah.
Yeah.
Jacob got in, like, we were casting, and it's funny because we're walking up the river, and Jacob has caught a few of them, and I see this big wake going up river. I'm like, that's got to be like a huge buffalo. And the water is really clear. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, Jacob, and I'm like, guys, like, look at that thing. It's a striper. And we can see the wake. Like, it would go, I mean, it's not a wide river, but we can see the wake from one side to the other. And it's like, no, that's got to be there. So we started casting there, and I took the drone out. And while he was casting, I was operating the drone. And I looked down, and there was a whole school of them.
Nice.
I mean, it was just... like 20 or 30 of them. So we started throwing that game. He started throwing that game changer, and sure enough, that big striper, it just ripped it completely clean, and that was the only one he had left. So we started doing like more like fly, dry fly. So it got complicated after that.
Jeez, all I see is eyes. What's up, Josh?
What's up, my homies?
No. What's up, Tommy Bird?
Hey, look, dude, look.
What? Oh, yeah, repping Tidewaters. What's up? Yeah, I kind of took a hiatus with that, you know, with COVID and all that mess. I think I'm going to have to revamp some designs. And
dude, that shirt, the fabric is so soft and comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Those are good shirts just to wear in the summer, too. They're lightweight, and they stretch, and they, you know, they fit well, and they're design's pretty cool, and it's Doodoo's company. Shoot.
Yeah. It's an XL. You probably wear them kind of fat, so it's fit.
Yeah, they're kind of slim fit, though. They're kind of that slim fit style, kind of like, yeah.
So, Armando, you said you were flying the drone. That's, like, new to your arsenal, huh?
I've had it. You remember? Okay, so you remember Saulo? He used to be my co-host in the Spanish podcast. He moved to Greece. Yeah. So before he moved, he was selling it. So I bought it for him like dirt cheap. But I haven't had the chance to use it a whole lot because I figured. I mean, I'm still learning to fish, and I don't want to lose too much time trying to create content while I could be learning. So now this year, I'm more like, you know what? Let me give it a try. Let me try to get some footage. I was using the Sky G. Like I mentioned, from Douglas, and it's an amazing rod. Jacob, who's been fishing a long time, he held the rod for the first time. He just couldn't believe the 6-weight was that light. Yeah, and I tried his rod, and I was like, I can't believe yours is so heavy. Like, it's the only rod I've ever used, and it's an $800 rod. So here I am being spoiled my first time. So we figured, let's get some footage, you know, to do the promo for Douglas. He's now one of the Douglas pro staff as well. You know, we are, you are, I am, so is Brad Higgs. So I figured, you know, I need to get some posts done for Douglas. And it's an amazing rod, and I loved it. But yeah, man, it was fun. Using the drone, I was like, I wonder how many tournament anglers take a drone with them in pre-fishing and try to, like, scout areas. Because I was amazed. Like, we couldn't see the, even though it was kind of clear water, we couldn't see the fish 5 feet from us. And here we are standing, and there's a school of like 30 stripers, big stripers, just like 10 feet from us. And we can't see them, but I can see them on the drone.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I was like, man, I wonder how many people have thought of this. Like, let me scout the area pre-fishing and fly my drone around.
Inshore-wise, where you're not supposed to use them to catch the fish.
No, not on a tournament, but like pre-fishing.
No, just in general.
Yeah, in general.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's kind of there's weird stuff like that with hunting.
There's
right?
some weird stuff with the drone. Some weird rules as far as fishing.
Just in general, not tournaments.
TPWD, not tournaments either. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
It's probably done on a state by state basis, but
yeah, I'm sure it is.
Like Jay and Brian, you guys are both hunters. They have laws against like if you and your buddies are in tree stand, you're actually technically not allowed a lot of times in some states communicate via phone if you know there's a deer in the area, especially for people who are pushing deer out, like they'll try to use radios and stuff like that. And some states allow it. A lot of times it's done on a state-by-state basis, but I've heard of weird laws and regulations that as soon as you start introducing technology into it, it makes it a little too unfair at times.
I know there's no laws up here in regards of communication, like in Wisconsin, deer drives are illegal. You can text message, you can phone call make phone calls, all that stuff. But I think there is something in place where you can't fly a drone to scout deer if you have a weapon on you or with you. But with that being said, when I was out of town the other week and I shot a deer and we were tracking it, and in Illinois, there isn't a fair chase law. So fair chase law is if a deer crosses into private property, and you have a blood trail, you can go onto that private property to retrieve the deer. So we don't have that in Illinois.
Wow.
And you have to get landowner permission. Well, I was hunting public land. This deer crossed over into public, and I went, knocked on the door, rang the doorbell. Nobody answered. Went to cell service, did Google searches, found a phone number, called it several times, and there was no voicemail. And so I'm like, crap, what am I going to do? Well, in the meantime, I had called the game warden to see if I had any options. And, you know, she got back to me and she's like, unfortunately, you don't. Like, you know, you can go leave a note on the front door, say, hey, I'm going to be in town. If, you know, it's okay, give me a call. Let me come retrieve my deer. Well, in the meantime, I was texting Jay because Jay's like, did you find your deer yet? And I'm like, no, it's in private land. And he's like, fly your drone. And I was like, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So I threw the drone up and I was trying to see if I could locate it from the sky. And unfortunately I didn't have any success, but I think in that kind of situation, you'd be okay. You know, trying to retrieve an animal. I did have a bow with me in my truck. So I kind of walked away from the vehicle, obviously, when I was flying the drone. But yeah, I could see it being like one of those things where, you know, for pre-fishing for a tournament or something like that, like it being totally illegal, you know, but.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
I don't know. It's one of those things.
Well, before you go on, so I'm recording with Bass and Bruce, and I chop in because he's running late, but now he's ready, so I got to bounce and record an episode with Bass and Bruce. It's going to be airing tomorrow. So nice to see everyone.
All right. See you
later.
Cool, buddy. Man. Later. What have you been up to, Josh?
Yeah.
Work. Kids.
Work.
And kids. There.
Yeah.
The bearded panda.
Yeah, dude, I decided I'm going to grow it out. And I'm actually, check this out, Brian.
Oh,
I'm growing my hair out.
What?
Oh, I've never seen him without a hat.
I have, but usually he's like bald, like bicked bald.
I'm not bald at all. Like, I just shaved my head. Dude, when you get a collection of enough shitty haircuts, you know, and the price of them, you know, remember the day it was like $7, $8, $10 at the most? I went to my barber and he was like, that's $25. I'm like, what happened to the 10?
Yeah, right.
Like, times have changed, man.
Pro like, cuts or whatever that place is. I need a kid's cut, please, for $7.
Yeah. Yeah. Sit on the little train.
Dude's in the little airplane seat, you know, with a lollipop.
Oh man. I've been sick for the past 2 weeks.
Oh, damn, dude.
So I took a COVID test today and tested negative, so that was good. But the kids had something they passed back and forth a couple times, and I thought I was over it. And then last weekend, dude, I started coughing, and I haven't stopped coughing since last Friday. So,
jeez. Oh,
but, I mean, I'm good overall, like no fever or anything. It's just when I go to lay down, man, it's like I've been smoking a pack of cigarettes throughout the day. So
that's bad for your health, man.
Yeah, but besides that, Jay, are you in Tennessee?
Not yet. No, I'm in Illinois right now.
Okay,
I've been back and forth
to Tennessee.
Yeah, in April's pretty much the deadline. I'm out of Illinois at that point, and I'll be at the new house.
And he's up by Watts Bar.
Yep. Are you gonna go with him, Brian?
I told him to clear a spot in his backyard for my teepee. He thinks I'm joking.
Yeah.
Yep. Dude's just gonna show up one day and come up there and fish
that. That's fine, dude. You guys are, I don't care. Just let me know. Like there's, yeah. Dude, there's a.
He won't let me. He won't let me come.
No, not Josh. I don't like Josh.
He hates me, dude.
I'm just kind of enduring it right now. It's purely toleration.
I know.
But there's a what is it? The Clinch River is 5 minutes from my house. There's a launch, like right down the street from my house, and then
oh, cool, dude.
The Norris, well, and of course, Watts Bar is part of the Clinch, as well as Melton Lake. And then Norris Lake is 25 minutes away, which is a reservoir. So there's some pretty, you know, there's a lot of water around the house.
It's Cherokee sweet. Lake's not too far either, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you got Norris. What is it? It's Norris, Cherokee.
Douglas.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. See? I like Josh again.
Well, hold on. Let me ruin it real quick. When did you start with the stash, bro?
I know. It's so funny. I knew I was going to – you know what? I don't care.
You look like a mall cop. I'm just going to say.
Yeah. I said he looked like Ron Jeremy.
I thought he looked like Mario.
Mario, Super Mario. Yeah. And his little hat on.
So it was great seeing you all, you guys. I got to go. I got to think.
Oh, hold on. Let me ruin it.
Some overalls on.
Look at the time.
God, time to go jump on some mushrooms.
Yeah, there you go.
Grow the beard out. Grow the beard
no,
out.
I actually did have it going on, and then I just shaved it off and kept this. I don't know.
Yeah.
He usually does it. He usually does the neck warmer.
Yeah, the neck warmer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm beard challenged.
That's funny.
That's
so
what's going on.
I wish I could grow one out. Work keeps me from doing it, but if I could grow one, I'd have a freaking ZZ Top beard if they let me.
Oh man, like my dad used to be able to rock one. I was like, thanks, Dad. He even passed that to me. What the hell?
Yep.
That's funny. So one of the hot topics this week, and I wanted to get your guys' take on it. You know, the Hobie BOS Championship just wrapped up. Yeah. Jordan Marshall just won Angler of the Year. So there's been a lot of stipulation on, like, what should the Angler of the Year look like. Ewing Minor had a pretty stellar year, led AOI pretty much the whole year, I think it was. Yeah. And Drew was in second place. Drew missed the TOC. You know, Ewing got bumped out. Jordan had a better finish at the TOC and ended up taking it home.
Yeah.
So what's your guys' thoughts on that? Because, you know, typically most tournament series, it's your best three finishes, you know, go towards your AOI. You know, typically a trail can have anywhere between 5 and 8 events, right? And three of your best finishes go towards AOI. And then they usually weight like that championship heavier, I believe. KBF does the same thing. Bass doesn't have it. I know there's some small grassroots clubs that do the same thing. So, like, what's your thoughts on that? I've seen a lot of different suggestions and things like that. I know, like, one of the biggest arguments is it's the Hobie Bass Open. It's an open series. So, you know, it's not like you're committed to fishing all those events. You know, some guys will fish three, some guys will fish them all. There's no stipulation on that. I've seen a lot of comments out there where, you know, guys and gals think you should have to fish every event, or let me rephrase that. Every event should go towards your AOI and things like that. So what's your thoughts? We'll start with Doodoo because he's fresh off a second place, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm all for, you know, having your best three out of, say, if there's 6 events, or say if there's 7 events, maybe your best 4 out of 7. And if it's a 5-event trail, maybe your best 3 out of 5. And then having that championship as a the weighted more, more points, you know, like 1.5 or something like that.
Sure.
Spread instead of a 1-point spread, something a little different. I'm all for that. I just fishing everything, like having an eight trails. Not everybody's going to be able to make 8 events.
Sure.
Not like tough. Yeah, not like a normal, like, everyday, you know, Joe like us.
Yeah, I'm definitely not, because I'm fishing saltwater too.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, this is definitely, I have to pick and choose, and I'm kind of looking at all these schedules coming out like, man, what am I going to try to do in 2022? Am I really, am I going to get out and make a run and try to make some more national events, or am I going to fish our really cool trails in Texas, like the TKC, the Southeast Texas, and then the Northeast Texas events, and then the ones that Duke runs. I mean, there's just so many options over here. But on top of that, we have a new Redfish Trail about to start up, Galveston Redfish Series. They actually been around a while, but it's under new ownership, and they're bringing the kayak team edition back. And then, you know, we just have a lot of stuff going on.
In those saltwater tournaments, do they have an AOI system as well?
Some of the trails do. Some of them will have, you know, your best, all your events will add up, and you'll have a team of the year, you know, depending on how many, and they'll drop they'll drop one score for you.
Okay.
You know, that's how this last one we just fished was, the for the Saltwater Angler Redfish, Professional Redfish League. Just like that, too. It all depends on the trail, you know. But, yeah, I like to at least have, you know, you get to drop a couple. Say you can't make all of them. You at least make three, and on them three count. But if you can make, you know, four out of five and you drop your lowest score, your best three counts, and then you go to the championship and, you know, you still got a shot, you know.
Sure. Yeah. How about you, Josh?
So the way with the Hobie is right now, it is really, really, really Southeast heavy. So in a way you would almost be able to see where they could pull that off. Right. Because it's there. I mean, there is some places that it kind of goes far out, but I don't know. I agree with Dudu. I think, based off the number of events, maybe they could add one or two more, you know, onto that instead of like three. So if it's like, you know, eight events, like maybe your best five or six, you know, but if it's like eight and it's your best three, I'm not a fan of that then.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would need to, you know, and I like that they are waiting, you know, making a heavier weighted system on that championship for sure. That makes a lot of sense because a lot of times they don't. Like a lot of the grassroots clubs, well, the one I know around here, I don't think they weighed it. It's just another number at the end. And I'm not even 100% sure that it really plays into it if they don't keep the AOI separate.
Separate from the championship.
Yeah, the CKF. I'm not sure, though.
Okay.
But I don't know, man. I think that's where we could – it'd be cool to see a tournament schedule – you know, a series to open up to that travels more broad. But the problem is that the money's not there for kayak anglers to be able to commit those kind of resources and follow a trail like that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you got your big bass boat guys and stuff like that. And, you know, most of that money comes some of it comes from sponsors, but you know, we've heard the stories of when those guys are starting, man, they are forking out a lot of money to, you know, and tournament fees and that sort of thing to be able to travel and, you know, follow a series like that, you know?
Yeah. It's not as luxurious as most think it is, you know?
Oh, for sure.
I learned that. I've mentioned it before, 2019, that FLW event was going on, and I was at the campground. There was a bunch of guys with, like, you know, truck bed campers. I saw one dude eating, like, the little hot dogs in a can, dude?
Vienna sausages.
Yeah. He was, like, heated it up legit in his campfire and was eating it out of the can. Like, that was his dinner, you know what I mean? Like, these guys aren't eating T-bone steaks every night, like while they're on the road.
Ramen and peanut butter and jellies and
exactly
ham, potted meat.
Yeah, spam. Yeah, peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah,
but no, I totally agree with that. I think, like, if you want to count all the events towards AOI, it's got to be like the elite series where, you know, you're paying all your tournament fees up front beginning of the year and you're committed to the whole season. And I think they still drop your worst one, maybe worst two scores. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I know they drop at least one score, I believe. But, you know, and I saw a lot of discussion going on about that. I can see that happening in the future, but like Josh said, it's not there. And I guess that's a good segue, too, because KBF announced that they're bringing back their Pro Series, which, you know, Jimmy was texting me last night or this morning or something. He sent me all the specifics for that because he asked me if I would fish it again. And they're just doing it in conjunction with the regular trail series events. I thought they were going to do a completely separate trail when I thought Chad had announced that, but I could be 100% wrong. Like, I'm not going to lie, I haven't followed the tournament stuff a ton this year. I mean, I know who's won and who hasn't and where events have been and things like that. But as far as like going into next year, I haven't really dove into schedules yet. But in reading that, like, they're planning on upping the entry fees and the guaranteed payout for the championship each year with, I think it's 2026.
Grows substantially every year.
Yeah, that's what they're shooting for, and I'll pull it up. But this year it's going to be $200 entry fee, and then it's supposed to go up from there. Let me pull this up real quick.
Now, so I had my earphones off. Are they going to do the Pro Series along the regular Trail Series again?
Yeah. So, and I thought it was going to be a separate trail. So, 2022, it'll be $200 for the tournaments, $450 for the championship, 10% of the field at all Pro Series events and KBF Pro Series Championship will get paid. 2023, they're going to bump it to $300 an event, $550 at the championship with a $50,000 first place guarantee. 2024 would be $400 entry fee, $650 championship entry fee with a $75,000 guaranteed first place. 2025, $500 entry fee for normal event, $750 for championship, and then $100,000 first place guarantee. And then 2026, $1,000 entry fee for regular season events, $2,500 for championship entry fee with $200,000 guaranteed first place.
Wow.
That's a lot of moolah.
That's a lot of dollar bills, y'all. So, cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money.
Gotta make that Wu Tang.
Oh man, I'll be jamming that. Boy, that's my jam.
So I read that and I was like, that's pretty stellar for payouts, like you're talking. However, is the participation there? And one thing that they did say, because back in 2019 when they did the Pro Series, they said it'll be open to whomever. And then after that, they were going to go to like top 100, top 150 or whatever would be qualified for the following year, which is what they're doing again for this year. And then for 2022, what they figured, and I remember hearing Chad talk about this on one of his streams, but the top 100 at the 2021 KBF NC, top 25 for the KBF Challenge Series Championship, top 50 KBF Trail Series Championship, top 200 from the KBF Trail Series ranking, top 100 from the KBF Trail Series ranking. They got that in there twice. So they were, you know, going to make it a qualification type deal.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reading because we'll it's kind of confusing the way this is all laid out. Yeah. And then they're also doing an Ambassador Series Pro Open events as well, which what that is, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the lower membership fee, and they'll just be able to come and fish those events.
Those Pro Series events? Yeah. Okay. So it seems like they're trying to structure it to building towards that. And I remember when I heard Chad talking about that in a podcast that, you know, they figured if they did so many from each one of those events or, you know, AOI standings for the trail, the, you know, the KBFNC, all that stuff, not everybody's going to do it, right? But, you know, that would hopefully become a collective of 100 to 150, 200 anglers, whatever it may be. You know, but in thinking about that, do you guys think that's too much? Because I know back when I fished KBF in 2019, you know, the big complaint I heard from a lot of people was, well, everybody qualifies for the NC. You know what I mean? Like, in one way, shape, or another. So is it just going to be kind of the same concept for the Pro Series? So does that null the Pro Series event? However, at the same time, if you got the cheddar to pay to get into those events, I mean, you know, you got to be pretty serious about it. Unless
I'm hoping it does some good stuff. Just like, you know, in 2019, I did. I double dipped too. I'd fish the trail and I fished the Pro Series, and I signed up to do it in 2020, and then freaking COVID hit, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
But a lot of people then were still whining about, oh, that's more money on top of what I'm already spending. I mean, put up or shut up. I mean, for real. I mean, if you want to fish, I mean, put the money in, you know.
Well, I mean, to get those higher payouts, it's going to require
You got
to
get there somehow.
It's going to require higher entry fees, you know? So,
yeah.
I'm like, to be honest with you, when you talk about the NC, I wish they would just change that. I wish you would think of a new name for it. Like, because I like the format and make it like qualify for it, but stop calling it a national championship. Because it's really not. It's almost an opening hoorah for the year.
Call it the national qualifier,
or like I don't know. I mean, something else. Just I respect what it is. Okay, I really do, because it's brought a lot of exposure to kayak fishing. It's brought a lot of exposure to those who've won it. It's got a good payout, and you know that's all based off, you know, the fact that there's a crap ton of people. But I think that's kind of the lore about it. It's actually, you know, I've known people who like get groups together to go down there, like 20 people deep, and get a couple campsites, and they have a great time, and they have the big expo down there. I just think it should be called something else. And then I think they should have a championship added to the series itself.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it was a spectacle down there this year. I didn't get to fish it. I got off night shifts and drove down there to support some of my Jackson teammates that made it to the final day. And, It was quite a sight to see, you know, the vendors surrounded the stage on the outside of the building, and the chairs were in the middle. You know, there's quite a few vendors there set up. They had some really cool stuff going on, man.
Yeah,
it was pretty neat. I mean, it was there.
Yeah, and I mean, I know Chad's referred to it too as it being like the spectacle of the sport, you know, because so many people qualify and come fish it and things like that. So, I mean, I'm not in any way trying to knock that at all.
Yeah.
I just want to be, you know, upfront about that. I'm just trying to, you know, what separates the two, you know, I guess is what I'm trying to get at, you know. I mean, everybody's got you know, let's be honest, opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one. You know what I mean? Yep. But I think it's, you know, when you have the constructive talks about it, you know, that's the way things progress. That's the way things get better. So
true on that.
I know Jay told me he's fishing pro series this year.
Oh, dude, I'm all over it. I'm just using seven baits through them all. That's it.
Seven baits.
That's right. I'm going to throw them on some ugly sticks, dude. We're good.
He would go there. He'd go there and he'd be like,
ugly stick.
He'd be like, I don't know, 15 minutes into it, and he'd be like, the hell with this. I'm pike fishing.
Like, the truth of that is that
pike, but I'm going to fish for him anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to fish for him anyway. Yeah.
It's like, that's actually happened a few times.
Yeah.
Well, they're not pike, but they're in the pike family. If you want to go catch a lot of jackfish, chain pickerel, or whatever, go to the Simbi chain. I think I caught 70 of them things the whole time I was down there.
John Big Daddy Ramp said Jay's video is frozen. Wait, no, he does speak.
What's up, Rusty Hook?
I'm just here to moderate, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you just mentioned something, right, Dustin? And this is a conversation I've been having with Brad Hurlboss. You mentioned Jackson teammates, right? And this is a question for everybody, right? So you're on a boat team, right? Like, you're Jackson, I'm New Canoe, Jay was Jackson, Josh, you float out of a Jackson, but you're not on a boat team, right? Sure. So, you know, us, especially being in the podcast realm, right, we always get questions from people that listen, people we run into on the water, things like that. Yep. And they're like, oh, I'd love to get into a kayak. What kayak do you recommend I get, you know? Mm-hmm. And me having a little bit of a sales background for a kayak shop, I know how I approach that. But, you know, whether you're on Team Jackson, Team Hobie, Team New Canoe, whatever it may be, and, you know, the potential customer describes, like, what their needs are, and your boat company doesn't necessarily make a boat that you think would fit their needs, but, you know, one of the competitors does. Do you think it's a bad thing if you recommend the competitor's boat, or is it you got to push your brand boat?
Well, I think that you're going to have some bias, of course. I mean, you're trying to support, you know, the company you're on. You're going to try to put on, you know I was going to say like Sun Dolphin. No, I mean, it's like you're trying to get people in those boats too, just to help the company and everything. But the reality of it is, you know, there's going to be other boats that are going to match other people. It's kind of like when people talk about Hobie and everyone goes, you know, but we all know deep down inside, it's a pretty solid boat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you can get out there, you can do a lot with it. I mean, it's you know, it's like an ongoing joke. And I've told people, you know, that talk basically saying or – you know, give you, you know, every idea for, I can't even talk today, but basically they're interested in a boat and the Hobie fits them. I'm going to be like, you should probably just get a Hobie, you know?
Yeah.
So John Rapp said, recommend they test. And I completely agree.
That too.
Like, go out and do a demo. I've always said there's no such thing as a perfect boat, but there's a perfect boat for a perfect situation.
Yeah.
But I also tell people, and I've said this numerous times on the podcast, like what I like, what Jay likes, what Dustin likes, what Josh likes, they're all going to be four different things. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and that's just it. Right. And, you know, I was having this conversation with Brad, and I'm not trying to throw him under the bus or anything like that, but
Brad who?
Hurlboss. You know, it's one of those things, man. You don't want a guy to come back at you and be like,
man,
why the hell did you talk me into this piece of shit?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I should have gone and got this boat, you know? And you bring up a valid point, right, Jay? Like, you mentioned Hobie. Like, me personally, like, you couldn't pay me to be in a Hobie. Like, it's no knock against Hobie, right? Like, it just doesn't fit my needs. Like, it wasn't comfortable for me. I know many people that have Hobies and they absolutely love them. It just, it wasn't me. It wasn't suitable for me. Like, I got bad knees and doing that whole like
the stepper.
Stair stepper thing, man, like that, like yeah, that, killed my knees, yep. Dude. Whereas like the cycle motion doesn't, which is weird, right? You would think it'd be opposite maybe, but, you know, it's to each their own, you know, but, I just wanted to get your guys' take on that. Cause like Brad's like, I feel guilty if I like recommend something else. I'm like, no, dude, you can't feel guilty for that.
No, you can. I mean, you just really got to tell them, hey, it's their decision anyways. I know I'm biased to Jackson, but you know, if the dealer they're going to has other brands on, and there's a demo day, I'm like, man, get in everything and try and find what you like. Don't go. I mean, I can tell you, oh man, this is great, but it's great for me. It might not be great for you, just like you said earlier. Yeah.
I mean, I've never been on a boat team, so I haven't had to really worry about that. And working out of Loveland and doing the shows and stuff, somebody was asking me, you know, here's my needs, here's my wants, and I'd get as much information from them as I can before I even recommend anything. And 9 times out of 10, being, you know, in a Jackson and knowing their lineup, I often could recommend Jackson just because they cover such a wide spectrum of kayaks. I mean, you got whitewater kayaks, touring kayaks. They've got it all, right? They're probably the most diverse overall, the brands. But, sorry. There's a lot of times I've run into issues, though, where somebody's like, the seat's not very comfortable. And then I'm like, okay, try this Bonafide out. You know what I mean? Their seats, they're known for having really good seats. So, you know, I've had no issues being like, check out Strictly Sail. They sell Hobies, they sell new canoes, they sell old, you know, my biggest thing is like, you will actually probably leave more of a positive at that point mark on that customer than a negative one, because they saw that you cared enough that you were willing to help them find that kayak regardless of where they bought it from.
Yeah.
And they could be like, hey, check out Loveland. I didn't buy my kayak from there, but they, you know, they're very helpful. They are not biased in, you know, being towards one brand or another. And, you know,
Well, Richard from Eastport Marina is in the chat real quick. And he brought up a great point, which is much like what Josh is talking about. He said, I've called the competition, recommended another product and made the customer happy. Hopefully that store returns the favor. And I know a lot of kayak shops are like that, you know, like, I know, you know, the shop I work with, Rocktown, and then the shop in Madison, I forget the name of it.
Rutabaga Sports.
You know, those two shops help each other up because they do carry different brands and they do carry some similar brands. So if one shop's out of a particular model, they'll send them up there to get it and vice versa. You know, like that's how these small paddle shops survive, is by working together instead of against each other. You know what I mean?
True.
But go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was going to say, there is a point that like there's a point about this that we didn't talk about either. It's usually money is involved, right? So
sure.
You really got to know somebody's budget.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that pretty much alters, because not everybody can drop, you know, $2,000 or $3,000, you know, on a kayak. And, you know, most people are like, I hear $1,000 a lot.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
I hear
$1,000 a lot. And then like, you know, of course there's the paddle, you know, side of things too, that, you know, is included in that. But
whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way, with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
You know, I got a guy at my work. He's saying that too. He's like, well, I want to do like $1,000. And I was like, well, you know, given today's environment, like the demos aren't so readily available. And I'm like, you know, you're closer to like, well, a Jackson Bite, or, and never mind, this guy's like 6'3".
Right.
So then I'm like, you're kind of a big dude. Fit. Yeah, it's like, and then I'm like, well, maybe there's like a feel free out there, right? They got what? Don't they got like an $800 or $900 boat?
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, maybe it's called like Three Waters now, but anyway, I mean, cost is a huge thing, and that's really the starting point for any of this conversation.
Yeah.
Kevin Willis in the chat brings up a good point too. He said so many people get into a bad fit kayak as a newbie and have the perception that kayaking is not a good experience.
Yeah.
You know, which you hear a lot of people, you know, like me personally, dude, I had a little 10-foot Pelican I used to fish out of, you know, and I had a shitty Ascend, and I'd rather fish out of that Pelican than that Ascend. You know what I mean?
True.
But and that's the thing too, fitting that budget and making sure that that boat is going to fit their needs and be comfortable for them, you know, like that's a huge thing too.
Dude, and to kind of go a little bit into that is, sorry, I'm like on the verge of coughing at any moment.
You were excited. You were excited. You're like, dude.
So like, buying used kayaks. I see people get into used kayaks and they hate them because they found a deal on a nice kayak and they're like, oh, it's a Jackson. You know, like I had a buddy who bought a Jackson. He bought the Cuda 14 for like lake fishing and like river fishing, mainly river fishing.
Dude's like,
You want to
get on his kayak every time we were in the river.
I was going to say, you want to use it out by doo-doo more. Do you want to use it out by
That's a good marsh
paddle
as well.
That's offshore even possibly, you know, a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And super narrow boat, couldn't stand in it. It was fast. It was a fast kayak, but not for fishing Dayton, Ohio waters by any means.
True.
So, you know, that's the other thing. Like, even if you consider going used, still try to get out and find, at least try to find something like size wise that you're looking for first. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then kind of go from there. What options do you want? Yep. You know, like it's all about your budget and then what are you fishing? You know, what are you primarily going to be on?
Yeah. Well, you know what, you know, the thing is too, is a lot of people don't have the access to a shop, you know, depending on where they live too. So, when we say demo,
that's hard.
It's real difficult. So they got to make just a choice and be like, all right, you know, and you can watch like a million videos, you know, that goes and you still getting something and you're like, you know, man, you know, like perfect example, actually, to back up what Rap said, like one of my first like real kayak was like a Feel Free, you know, in the lure. It's a great stable kayak, but it's a barge.
Yeah.
You know, it's heavy. You know what I mean? But I mean, it's still, but for an entry level, it's fine. But I moved on, you know, and I got into, you know, by then I was on the Jackson team, but but I mean, it's like, you're just never going to know. I mean, it's like, you just, of course I have access to shops, but I just didn't, I wasn't deep enough to have that intellect to, you know, go to Rocktown and, you know, and check out all their kayaks before I actually made a purchase. But money was also another thing about that.
Sure.
For $1,100, free shipping, you know, done deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uncle Flaky on YouTube brings up a great point, too. He said, fishing from a kayak low angle might not appeal to dudes used to fishing from boats, and $1,000 yak won't fix that. Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
True.
Totally agree. And, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, like when you're – I guess I bring it up because, you know – 'tis the season for people to start looking at boats for next season and things like that. One thing I will say, I know Jackson guys are good for it. All our new canoe guys are good for it. You know, Hobie folks, every brand, even, you know, Feel Free, John Rapp's on Feel Free's team. Like, look on a lot of the websites for these specific kayak manufacturers, and a lot of them have, you know, kayak team members, and reach out to one of the guys in your area. Nine times out of 10, if they don't have the boat you want to demo, they more than likely know somebody in the area that does.
We will more than happily
meet you, set it up. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Sure. I was just
absolutely
about to say that too.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, that's something too. Like, don't feel like, you know, if a shop is 4 hours away and it's hard for you to take a whole day to go out there and demo a boat, look and see if somebody's close to you. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And I know some shops rent out their demos. Like, you know, Rocktown, for instance, you could rent one of their demos for a day, yeah, 2 days, a weekend, and really put that boat through the pace. And if you end up buying a boat, whether it's that one or not, whatever you paid in rental, they'll take off the actual price of the,
yeah,
boat.
Yeah, that's how we have a few Jackson dealers that do that, Fish and Tackle, yeah, Unlimited, and some others that do the same thing. They'll, you know, you'll rent the boat to demo it, and then whatever, if you decide to buy a kayak, I mean, they'll apply that rental fee,
yeah,
towards your purchase of the kayak, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, for, yeah, sure.
Speaking of kayak teams, did y'all see Mr. Russ announce that he's officially on Team Wilderness earlier today?
Russ Snyder's?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. It's, yep, about time. Like, what, yeah, the hell was taking so long?
Yeah, I don't know. I was pretty stoked to see him get on there too. That's a pretty good deal.
That's,
and
cool.
And there's another hot topic rolling around the internet there about the information highway, the sharing during tournaments and leading up to, like, getting outside information leading up to the tournaments. That's a big topic on a lot of threads right now.
It's always going on. It's been going on for.
Oh, it's been going on. It's kind of hard to
it's
control
in the bass boat world. Yeah. Like, yep.
Yeah, my first introduction to that, or like seeing that firsthand, was in the walleye tournament series. Yeah. You know, when I was helping pre-fish with my one buddy and things like that. Like, and that was back when it was run by FLW, and it was, mm-hmm, highly illegal to be sharing information with other competitors,
yeah,
but it still went on.
True.
I'm sure it still goes on in the bass boat world and things like that. And like, I've even heard things to the extent where there's anglers that fish those higher level events. And I'm not talking specifically in the kayak world. I haven't heard it in the kayak world, but I've heard it in big boat tournaments where anglers will team up and they'll pool their money where if they're sharing information during an event, yes, and one of them places in the top 10, now they have to give 10%, 20%, whatever, yeah, it is, of winnings to each one of those, mm-hmm, people that were in on that circle. Does that happen in the kayak fishing world?
I don't know.
I don't know, but if I had to take a guess, I would say 100% it does.
Yeah.
You know, does that make it fair to a guy like that's out there grinding it all on his own?
No.
Yeah, true.
But this is my whole take on tournaments. Like, the instant you get money involved in anything, it goes south somewhat. You,
yeah,
know?
People are going to do whatever, yeah, they can to win.
We've seen it already with all the cheating stuff that's happened, and it's not going to ever be pure.
Sure.
And somebody's, sure, always going to be pissed, true, off or upset about something.
Yeah, well, I think where it's pure is a lot of times at that grassroots level. When you, yeah, when you start working your way up into these national events, you got more at stake. There's more reward at the end of the day. You know, people are going to start to do funny things for that.
Even the grassroots, man. Like, I've, yeah, heard some horror stories about it. You know, like, you got grassroots clubs that are running and, like, you know, like, a third of the field is involved with the actual, you know, tournament itself, like whether they're tournament directors or,
yeah,
some,
yeah,
kind of committee for it or something like that. You know what I mean? And who's to say that the same kind of thing doesn't happen? They have this group meeting and it's like six or seven of them, and they're like, well, here's last year's waypoints of all the fish that got caught, you know, on a,
yeah,
tournament,
true,
series, whatever. And I've always been a big believer that if you're running a tournament, you should not be allowed to fish it. You know, if you have access to that data, you know, whether it's Attorney X, Fishing Chaos, I don't care, like whatever it is, whatever way you do it, I don't think you should be allowed to fish, yeah, in those tournaments at all.
Well, I'll fish, you know, I'll do a chasing the tide trout tournament here in the winter, just like I did last February. And I do fish it, but yeah. Wasn't judging the fish. And then I donated it and I placed and I rolled my spot to the next person because I didn't take the prize.
Yeah,
but then sure. I wanted to enjoy the competition, you know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's obviously a
tasteful way of going about that, you know, and but then there's super sketchy ways too. So, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we've seen a lot of even the grassroots clubs have, you know, that's where a lot of cheating stuff starts to take place initially. Yeah. You know, you can kind of get away with it a little easier.
A lot of times some of the rules are kind of a gray area. I know there are certain trails here in Texas where you're not supposed to even call anybody that's in the tournament while you're on the water during tournament hours.
Yeah.
But leading up to the tournament, say you and a group of like five other guys all pre-fished, you know, 3 days before the tournament, y'all figure something out and you're sharing stuff with each other. I mean, there's some conversations about that, say leading up to like a big trail championship or something. And then, you know, you got a group of guys that are 6-7 people and you're all pooling information and, you know, just, you know, there's some, I know that goes on. That's a no brainer.
What if you got a buddy that's not doing so good, right?
And then you call him and say, "Hey, come on over here. I'm smashing him." Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. I don't see no harm in that because that dude's already having a bad day. It's
crappy
like,
day. Yeah.
Yeah, and you might, you know, it might brighten it up a little bit. They may not win. I mean, there's always that fluke, right?
Right.
But I mean, they still got to catch the fish.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you still got to throw the right presentation, the right color, and you know, being right spot.
But then at that point, you know, maybe that guy's like, "All right, here's what I'm throwing. Here's a bag of them. Here's some weights." You know, like,
yeah, but at the same time, like, so that's interesting because I was just going to bring this up. You know, back when I used to travel the trail, so to speak, you know, there'd be a group of us camping out, and we'd always give each other a hard time, and you know, it's like, "Did you catch them today?" And it was like, yes or no. And, you know, if you were catching them, like, it'd be like, "Oh, what'd you get them on?" And, you know, you'd either say a fake, like something that like was completely opposite of what you were using, or you would tell them. And like, that was the thing too. Like, I was usually pretty open and I'm like, "I'm throwing this." I wouldn't say what I was throwing it around or like give waypoints.
Yeah. Exact details. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, but you know what I throw and what another guy throws, or us throwing the same bait, we may present it two different ways.
Yeah,
you know, which could be all the difference in the world. You know, but I've seen people share waypoints and things like that, and that gets a little
sketchy. This is why I also don't tournament fish, because I love it when everybody has fun and catches fish.
Sure.
"Oh, well, I was right over there, and I was throwing X, Y, and Z on this, this, and this. You guys want to come over? We'll all go right over there together, and let's go have fun." I'm awful at it. I'd be like, and I'd probably get my ass kicked every time. I'd probably be sitting in first and be like, "How did I end up in 10th? "Well, you took half the field with you over there."
Kind of did it like, to "Were yourself. You drunk?"
And be like, "Haha, no, that's the funny thing. Yeah, I'm sober as shit, man." And we all just went right over there. Everybody was happy. You know,
is say you went and smashed them on the first day, and then you got like 10 more kayaks at the launch the next morning where you're launching from.
That's always
a good one too.
Yeah, there's been some pretty interesting events that have happened over the years in those types of situations.
Yes, for sure.
Where I know people have gotten in arguments on the water over spots and things like that. So, you know, it is what it is, but.
Well, coming to that point there, say like, if it's like the third day, you made it to the third round, but you're kind of out of reach of that check cashing zone. And then the guy that's you're sharing an area with is, you know, top 10-ish. Are you going to yield?
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA,
We make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
You're that spot to that guy.
Yeah, I mean, if I was definitely like...
And the guy was already fishing that spot?
Yeah, if y'all were kind of in the same area.
Yeah.
I'd let him have it.
Yeah. I'd say that's go
just,
for it.
It'd be,
for
sure. You know, just the courteous thing to do. But
yeah.
Now, if he's in a bass boat, and I don't give a shit if he's in the Elite Series at this point, I'd be like,
no, I'm talking about another guy.
Be like, go find a new spot, man. Yeah. Oh, I'm fishing for money. Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe mine's on $100,000. It's $500, but yeah.
That's when you bust out the musky baits and just start playing.
And then you're just like, but I really need a $500, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. All right.
All right. I can't get a hold of enough gas.
Josh has got to support his Skyline chili dog.
Right.
Skyline chili dog.
My kids.
Is that like a wiener schnitzel or something?
No, it's just chili dogs. I've been eating chili dogs like as my duty like in the past freaking year. I ate them tonight, Brian. It's hilarious.
I got
like Queen City sausages. Like they're like from Cincinnati, so.
Uncle Flaky says, just yesterday I told a dude to fish my spot. I was bank fishing, and he hooked up in a minute on my vid. I think structure knowledge, especially to a person who didn't know a lake, is powerful info. Totally agree to that. For instance, like, you come out here to my home lake, and Josh has fished it, Jay's fished it, Doo-Doo needs to get up here and fish it, but...
One of these days.
There is some sunken structure out in the lake, and if you don't know where it is, you're not going to catch any fish if you're fishing that deeper water, right? Like, the three of us have all seen that. Like, yeah, if you're not on those brush piles, you're not
brush piles, bro. Those are full grown trees. Like, if you don't see those on your imaging, like, you need to go just throw your electronics in the garbage.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Like, if you don't have some kind of imaging and you got just like some kind of like cheap chirp sonar, that's not necessarily showing up, you know? And if you're not on that structure, you know, you're not catching fish.
I'm sure I'm sure over by you, it looks like a Christmas tree under there too. I'm talking about the ornaments that are now lures.
Oh yeah.
I know I've lost a couple.
I probably got a couple $100 down there underwater. I've actually had thoughts of learning how to scuba dive and going down to retrieve every lure that's on those brush piles, and we could probably open a small bait shop for sure.
I'm not doubting that one bit.
So, but all interesting topics tonight, man. We'll close it up with final thoughts. So we started with Dustin, so we'll start with you again, man. Final thoughts, man. What's coming up? All that good stuff, brother.
Oh, what's coming up? Let's see. We do have a Southeast Texas Kayak Bass League has a Toads for Tots charity tournament on December the 11th.
Nice.
Which that evening, we will be celebrating at my house, my 50th birthday. It is the 9th.
Hopefully,
I'll be on night shifts that night. I might try to chime in on the OG show that Thursday night, the 9th of December. So I hit that milestone of 5-0. Look at that lizard.
That's crazy, man. You don't look a day over 40, bro.
Shoot, man. That boy hurting.
Man, he's so dusty. I'm like, getting some on me over here.
I know, right, old crusty old dude. Yeah, man, just looking forward to some December the 4th is the Artificial Showdown. That's the speckled trout tournament where all the solid guys in the boats fish it that we got 30 in last year in kayaks. And we'll be fishing that again this year with my Jackson teammate, Popa Cedillo, Chris Castro, Next Level Fishing. I think Graham Garcia is going to be joining us again. There'll be a group of four of us fishing against the boats again.
Nice.
And see if we can pull off a podium there. And then think that's about it. And looking forward to January.
Kevin Willis.
New year kicking up.
Kevin Willis said, Dustin, you're halfway to 100.
Oh, man. Come on, Kevin Willis. Oh, that's not bad. Kevin's a good dude, man. Fish with him. Fish against him on a lot of the redfish trails and saltwater tournaments. Solid angler there.
Okay, man.
Good dude. Yeah, okay. That's about it. Waiting on the new year to kick off. And, we'll have a few more podcasts before our little Christmas break. And then be ready for ring in 2022 with a bang.
Boom. Josh, boom. Final thoughts.
I don't know. Everybody have a safe year, man. Happy holidays. Like, you know, I don't do cool shit like Dudu does, man. I'm pretty boring. Dude, I've been fishing less than 10 times this year. So,
oh, man.
It's been a rough one, but, you know, I'm just getting my feet back up underneath me and spending time with my kids and stuff. So, next year, you know, once everything gets a little bit more stabilized and, it's going to be interesting. I think I was talking to Brad with this in one of our pods, and I think my kind of goal next year is I've thought about doing a grassroots trail, but with the time with my kids and stuff like that and having them as often as I do, I think it might be a little difficult, because it was kind of funny as I found that most of those tournaments always seemed to fall when I had – it was, you know, my weekend to have them. So
sure.
I'll probably do a couple here and there, but I really actually want to try to go. My plan this year was to travel more, to go camping more. And, you know, cause when you camp, you can save a lot of money as opposed to staying in like a house or a hotel and knock down that cost of it, but go fish some places that I haven't fished yet, or I really enjoy like St. Clair or something like that. Get down south some. I really want to go down south. I want to go to like Texas or Alabama. You know, I said something about it on the pod, and Dan Perry was chatting me like, dude, I'm ready for you to come down, man. Let's go to Gunnersville Thanksgiving Day weekend. You know, he's like, and he sends me a link for Airbnb, and I'm like, it's 2 weeks away, bro. Like, as much as I would love to go, I don't have the vacation time yet for it. So, and it was just, it's too quick. And, but I really, really want to get into videotaping, you know, doing some video stuff for Paddlefin.
Nice.
So I have a buddy who has a nice drone here. His name's Dylan. He's got a hell of an eye for photography as well. And I think he'd be a fun person to kind of work with and get out on a couple trips and just have a good time. And you know the crazy group I run with.
Oh, you know, yeah. Like
Mike Grimsley and Chris Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't met Dylan and his brother yet, but they're good dudes too. So, you know, and then we got Brad here and the rest of the Ohio crew. There's a lot of sticks around here.
Heck yeah.
A lot of fun people to fish with too. So,
yeah, right on. I got a drone on my site soon too.
I've been utilizing mine pretty good. I like it. Jay had his before me, and seeing what he could do with his, man, like it kind of lit a fire in my ass. And then I saw a great deal for a refurbished one on Amazon, and I was like, how can I not buy this? You know?
Yeah. So, yep. That's on my list right now.
Yeah. Sure. I think I paid like $300 for like the Flymore package for Mavic Mini.
Those are like what, $5.99, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah. Usually I think they're like
six or seven. Right. Yeah.
But I mean, the thing was like brand new.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Mr. Randall, final thoughts, my friend.
Jay Bird. If you're joining the Red Army or the Orange Army this weekend, be safe. We'll be out there with you. Don't shoot us. Well, I just think of last year when those guys, like somebody blasted at 308 or whatever that was, like towards my way. I was like, what the? You know, I was like, I think I'm going to get up.
Yep.
But, it's you know, just have a safe. We're gonna talk more, but you know, New Year's coming up. Everybody be safe and everything, and have a good Thanksgiving.
I guess we should mention that next weekend's Thanksgiving. We're probably not doing a show.
Yeah. Thanksgiving evening would be the OG.
I'm game.
Why don't you do it, you guys? Do it, but like get everybody on at like 10 p.m. if you
can. I'd be half asleep.
I'll be asleep already or I'll be fishing.
I'll be sitting in my chair like this.
Yeah.
All right. Try shoot for 8 p.m. That'd be funny.
Yeah. We'll think about that. But anything else, Mr. Randall?
No, I'm good.
All right. Thank you.
Keep your mustache. Keep cultivating that mustache.
Thanks.
Great conversation tonight. You know, we did mention our Christmas break. The last show of the year is going to be the 12th with Dustin with Chasing the Tide. We may throw a couple like extra shows in there, like live shows like this, right around Christmas. We always try to do something around Christmas, things like that.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And then our first week back, full-time with the podcast, will be Bass Fishing for Noobs on Monday, January 3rd. So, it's pretty insane, man. Like, this is episode, what, 305? Yeah.
Yeah.
305. So we're going to be, for just 2021, which is pretty crazy. We've all like worked really hard this season. I know everybody's like just like looking forward to that break and, just hitting the reset button and all that stuff. So, huge shout out to all the Paddle and Fin hosts, man, that have been grinding it out all year long. Like, we've produced a lot of content. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Also on the docket, we announced that Bass Thumbs Fishing Podcast, Shane Lamont, was bringing his podcast over to Paddle and Fin. His first episode is going to go up tomorrow afternoon. Should be live around noon Central Time. So be sure to check that out. I know he's got Greg Blanchard on there and one of the AOI winners for one of the California trails. It's mostly West Coast based. So there'll be some interesting conversation in there as well. And then, are you?
But to get that West Coast presence finally?
Yeah.
I can, dude.
Yeah, that's gonna
be a good deal. I agree. There's been that huge divide, and I think this is one of those stepping stones to bring everybody together for sure. So I was super excited when we brought him on. So be sure to check out his show tomorrow. It'll go live at noon. And then what else? I know we've had a lot of questions about the Dale Hollow event for next spring. We're working on that. As soon as we have the dates, that'll be announced.
Is that going to be our meetup or is that going to be like for everybody? I'm looking forward to all of us getting together again, like next year.
It'll probably be both. So yeah. And, yeah. If you want one, your channel box windows to show live fish, let me know. I stick a live camera. All right. I got it. All right, Uncle Flaky.
All right, Flaky.
We'll hit you up, bro. We'll hit you up. A lot of cool stuff happening. Year's not over yet. We're getting there. If we don't have a show next week, I hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving and get to spend time, some quality time with family and friends and eat plenty of food and all that goodness. And like Jay said, if you're in the Orange Army and you're getting out there this weekend, be safe, play it smart. If it's brown, it's down. Fill the freezer.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Looking forward to it. And yes, please do not shoot me. so That's why I'm bringing my tree stand, so I can get up off the ground a little bit. So,
but
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll be easier to pick off out of the tree rather than on the ground.
Maybe I want some
instructions.
So
So I appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. We will catch you guys on the next one. As always, boys and girls, tight lines, smooth paddle. Peace.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos, speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.